Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Tuesday, July 11th, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm coughing. I am coughing. Thank you for having us. I'm going to mute and cough now.
And just remember, if air is flowing, that's a good sign. The victim's efforts are always best. So
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not going. Yeah, I won't do anything to try and dislodge whatever's in your throat until you actually stop passing air.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. Important first aid responder tip for everyone. Jeff Butts, how are you?
I'm happier than a pig in slop to be here.
Please tell me you have a big belt buckle.
No, I don't.
Oh, well, that's okay. There's still a few days before Mac stock, and you can get one by then, right?
You know, I saw some the other day when I was down there in Texas for a little bit, and I saw some big belt buckles. I can probably hook you up. I know some fellas that are still down there. They can take care of you, get you belt buckle, big and shiny.
Yeah, well, you know, I just might do that one of these days. You know what I do have? I have a Millennium Falcon keychain that weighs almost 2 pounds.
Well, now we won't hold that against you too much.
I'm intrigued.
I'll bring it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. And here's a little bit of belt trivia for you. Uh-huh. For a long time, the belt that I wore was actually a lashing strap that I took out of my camping gear because I needed a belt. And I got compliments on it. People were like, "Where'd you get that awesome belt?" Out of my backpack.
Seriously, where, it was just where a were you strap. That they actually complimented you rather than asking you if you were looking for handouts?
I live in Colorado.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyhow, hey, we have a sponsor today, and well, at least I hope they want to stay our sponsor after that introduction. Anyhow, our sponsor today is iMazing, and I'm pretty excited about that, not just because they're a sponsor, but because there's an update out, and I'm going to tell you some cool stuff about that. But before we get to that, there's this whole thing with the Electronic Frontier Foundation scorecard thing, and we need to take a look at this. So to get everyone up to speed with where we are right now, Brian knows where to get big belt buckles. Jeff has a 2 pound Millennium Falcon keychain, and I have no fashion sense. No, wait.
Technology, Jeff.
Right. Technology. The Electronic Frontier Foundation does this report every year where they rate different technology businesses or companies based on their stance on protecting their customers' privacy. And so there's five things that they were rating this year. And Apple rated really high on the list. But not as high as Adobe, and Airbnb, I believe, also Lyft, Uber, and Dropbox.
No, Airbnb did not rate as highly. Amazon did not rate as highly.
There's no way Uber could have rated as highly.
Uber and Lyft both got 5 stars. Apple got 4. Adobe got 5 stars. Amazon got 2.
Hold on. This is more about having your back against government surveillance and government intrusion than it is to, like, say, respect you as a human being.
Spying on you for their own gratification.
Right, which is something that Uber does and something that Google does as a matter of business practice. And
right.
Google scored the same thing that Apple did.
All right. And see, and this is exactly why we need to talk about this, because if you just look at the stars – seeing Google ranking as high as Apple does, seeing Lyft and Uber ranking higher than Apple, it just doesn't seem to fit. But when you look at what they're actually rating, it's a completely different thing. So the reason a company like Adobe and Lyft and Uber can rank higher than Apple is because they hit four of the five stars. The one star that Apple didn't get was for signing the public document that was presented to Congress in relation to the 702 reform. And I'll make sure there's a link to the article that Andrew Orr wrote for us, because he does a great job of explaining what that is. But basically, there's a set of rules that control what the government can and can't do in relation to just requesting information from companies.
Right.
And so there's we're in the year where this can change or just go away. And so a lot of technology companies have been pushing to get positive change to this, or to just simply let it go away. Apple did not sign that public letter. Does not mean Apple doesn't support what...
doesn't necessarily mean.
Yeah. So, you know, so Apple not having a star there doesn't mean that Apple is doing less to protect our personal data from unreasonable government intrusion. It just means Apple didn't sign this public letter.
Okay.
And other companies like Lyft and Uber and even WhatsApp did. And WhatsApp, they got a 2-star rating just like Amazon. And anyhow, so when I'm looking at this as a whole, I see a lot of good stuff and a lot of things that companies are going a lot of things that people are going to misinterpret about companies. And anyhow, so Jeff, you gave a big wah. What was up with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, Uber's infamous for violating our privacy. Maybe they don't give the information to the government, but heaven and hell, their programs that snoop on their drivers and on their customers.
That's not what this particular report.
It's not what it's looking at. However, right. If they're being given a 5-star rating in protecting your privacy,
But they're not.
In relation to the government, the five-star rating, and
having your back. Having your back against the government requests. And
I guess what I'm trying to say is that people are going to take that to mean that these are good companies, that they have your back for privacy all around, not just when it comes to the government.
Right. Well, there are plenty of other reports that look at that.
Right. But people look at the EFF reports let me rephrase that. People will look a lot at this EFF report because it's getting coverage, and the problem is going to be that a lot of people will look at it superficially, and they will look at just the pretty chart that the EFF made, yep, and they'll look and see where there's 5 stars, where there's 2 stars, and or in the case of the telecoms, only 1 star.
Yeah, I was going to say that Andrew wrote this up for us on Monday, and he pointed out the 4 worst scoring companies were AT&T, Comcast, T-Mobile, and Verizon.
Right. Now, what that means is that they got a star for following industry-wide best practices for protecting our personal data from inappropriate government access.
Okay.
And by and large, those companies, I'm a little bit surprised to see T-Mobile, but maybe it's because I was projecting things onto them that I shouldn't, because they do such a great job of pitching themselves as being rebels. But AT&T, Comcast, and Verizon have particularly atrocious track records in the realm of not treating us like crap in all possible conceivable ways.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, as long as we're talking about the telecoms, here are the places that they did not get a star. Now, of course, we know about the pro-user public policy, the Reform 702 stuff. No star there, just like Apple. The other places where they did not get stars, telling users about government data requests, promising not to sell us out as users to other companies, and standing up to
How does Google get a star there?
Because
how does Uber get a star there?
No, because okay. If we go back and look at what that actually means, hold on, because I believe I have this sitting here somewhere. There we go. Okay, so here's what this means. I'm scrolling down to where that part is. All right.
Sausage.
I knew you were going to say that for me.
Sausage.
Okay. Sausage.
Industry of best practices tells government about not selling us out to users. Okay, here's what they say. To earn credit, a technology company must have a public policy that ensures data is not flowing to the government outside of its law enforcement guidelines. Okay, so this, I believe, comes straight out of what Twitter did this last year, where they cut off a private company that was using Twitter's APIs to gather information about people and then turn around and provide that to the government. So in this case, this is all about the Twitter thing. So when we look at what we have with Google getting a star there, okay, they might be allowing information to flow out to government agencies, but it's all happening within the guidelines that they have set up for themselves. Yeah, I know.
Okay. Yeah, I would call this a flawed report in many ways.
And
it's saying what it's saying. It's not saying anything else. And I know that sounds a bit obvious, but
I don't know if it's so much flawed. But it's because they set very clear guidelines for what qualifies getting a star, and a lot of that has to do with written policies that are public. And so as long as a company is following these written policies, then they get their star. I think the real problem is that most people aren't going to go and read up on exactly what all these things really mean. So they're going to be misinterpreted.
Okay. So let me get this straight. If I owned... Say I owned a social media network called Lucidity.
Okay.
And I set... Lucidity set in its documentation that it was going to provide all of your information to the NSA. As long as I did that, I could get a star.
No.
No. Okay, then I'm totally misunderstanding. And that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information in this report about exactly how they rank everything. With this not selling out users. So I'm calling it the Twitter policy. They are looking to see if that law enforcement guidelines are fully described. For the company policies, and that there's a policy for proper disclosure of information, and that these third party companies that may have access to the information are required to comply with these guidelines as well.
Okay,
and that's why I'm calling this the Twitter thing. So
okay.
So if this is really about not letting other companies collect our data on behalf of the government.
I see.
And so that's why Google gets a star, because if you want that data, then you have to go to Google to get it. It's not going to be available, at least shouldn't be available, through third parties.
Through third parties. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Anyhow, so This is why I wanted to discuss this today, because this report, there's a lot more to it than a bunch of stars. And simply saying that that Uber is better than Apple at this, at protecting our data from the government, simply because they have more stars, doesn't necessarily mean that our data is safer with Uber
right.
as opposed to Apple.
They're just not going to sell us out to the cops.
No, at least not this year, or at least not this last year, because this relates to data April 1st, 2016 to April 1st, 2017.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Now that we've got that sort of sorted out, but I know it's not sitting well with people. Sorry about that. Hey,
yeah.
We have a sponsor, and that sponsor is iMazing. And the reason I'm really happy to talk about iMazing today is because version 2.3 came out. So iMazing lets you access the data that's on your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch from your Mac or your Windows computer, do all the backups, selectively copy information off, selectively put information on, and that's all great. But with this 2.3 update, they added in something that makes me really happy, which is the ability to do all of this over Wi-Fi. So you don't have to, well, specifically automatic backups. So previously, to get your automatic backups to happen, you had to make sure you were plugged in to, physically plugged into your computer. And now it just works over Wi-Fi. So to me, that's like truly automatic backups, because I don't have to take an extra step to get this to work. So I'm really pleased that they added that in. They also added support for backup to more devices. So you can back up to like a NAS drive, no problem. You can do time capsule. And one of the things that you can do now that you couldn't do before, if you have a FAT formatted USB thumbstick thing, you can back up to that as well, which means that now you have a way to do a backup that you can throw in your pocket, throw in a safe deposit box, whatever, and you can use inexpensive, compact media for that. So I'm really pleased with that.
Cool.
All right. So now here's what you guys can do, because you should totally have this on your computer, and you should totally be using iMazing to do backups and data restoration. And just making sure that all your data is managed the way you want on your iOS device. So go to their website, imazing.com/TDO. That's imazing.com/TDO. Go there. You can download a trial version. And if you like it, and of course you're going to like it, you can buy it for 20% off. So use that link, imazing.com/TDO, and you get 20% off a single license, a group license, or family license. So it's totally worth checking out. That's an awesome deal, 20% discount. And iMazing is one of those tools that I just need to have on my computer, because I have an iPhone and iPads. So thank you, iMazing, for being our sponsor today.
All right. And if I could just point out, anybody who out there who is has not come to the light and is still using Windows, iMazing is available for Windows too.
Yep. Yes, it is. Mac and Windows both. That's pretty awesome. All right. So before we wrap up, there's something that you brought up at one point, Jeff, in previous conversations that we've had, I believe here on Daily Observations.
John Martellaro brought it up, actually.
And okay. And well, that's the idea that at some point the voice controlled assistant appliance devices in our homes, so like Amazon Echo, Google Home, when HomePod comes out, when Microsoft Invoke comes out this fall, that too, these devices could at some point be used as tools to either contact law enforcement in an emergency situation or monitor us and call police on our behalf without us doing anything else to invoke that.
Yeah.
that's kind of happened, hasn't it?
It has. And here's what kills me is the guy did it to himself.
So what happened?
Okay. So this guy, Eduardo Barros, I believe his name was, he was house sitting for some friends, and his girlfriend and his girlfriend's daughter were there with him. And while they were house sitting, they got into an argument. Mm-hmm. The argument turned physical. He pulled a gun and threatened her.
Okay, that's bad.
Yeah, that's really bad. And then he asked, did you call the sheriffs? Now, somehow, the smart home device that was in the home that was plugged into the surround sound system heard its activation word.
Okay.
And then heard, call the sheriffs.
And so it did.
So it did.
And then they showed up at the place.
They showed up at the place. A crisis negotiation unit came out. The SWAT team came out. Apparently, the standoff lasted for hours until they were finally able to take him into custody. His girlfriend and his girlfriend's daughter are both fine. He has multiple charges against him, including weapons under disability. He was a convicted felon, so he's not allowed to have a gun. So he's in trouble for that. He's in trouble for false imprisonment, for aggravated assault, aggravated battery. The guy's got himself in a heap load of trouble. And the moral of the story is, if you're a bad guy, watch what you say around a smart home device.
Oh, I was thinking the moral was, if you're a bad guy, seek the help you need so that you don't have to
worry about what you say. Well, I mean, that's a given. That's a given.
Right.
You know, the fact that it was a allegedly bad guy, probably is a bad guy, by the way, but, you know,
yeah,
guilty until proven innocent, all that sort of thing. I think we're allowing the fact that this was a scumbag who was caught, who caught himself doing a horrific thing. And we're allowing that to blind ourselves to the bigger reality here.
Oh,
because it's not just bad guys who might call the cops on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And several people commented on my article about that. You're absolutely right. You know, if you've got a television show playing that says something just the right way. I mean, I've been in situations where my Echo thinks I've called it when I haven't. Siri is always on my watch thinking I've activated it when I haven't. So yeah, there's a real danger here.
It's because you pushed the crown with your wrist, but
I didn't though.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I swear on my mother's grave.
You don't have to push the crown. If you wake up the watch and start talking, and as long as your settings are right, then your watch can invoke Siri without pressing the crown.
You know, there was an incident where recently, I don't know, sometime in the last year, where an elderly couple, mm-hmm. there was a mistake made. SWAT team was called out. They went to the wrong house. They're trying to get in the, no, it wasn't even the wrong house. It was the right house. Someone had called the cops because they hadn't been able to get in touch with a relative or something to this effect, or maybe it was a neighbor who hadn't been able to get in touch with them. Long story short, they were fine, but they didn't know who these people were trying to bust down the door, and they've got a gun, and boom, the SWAT team ends up shooting the guy because he won't disarm.
No.
A horrific tragedy by all stretches of the imagination. But my point is that we have these wiretaps in our house, and we have a lot to figure out before these things are going to truly be doing only our bidding. And mm-hmm. and don't let the fact that this was a bad guy obscure the bigger story of guy ended up calling the cops, and he wasn't trying to call the cops.
Right. No, you're right.
Yeah. This is a tough area to be. And I know we're running over, but we still have a little bit more to say, but
it's an important conversation.
It's an important conversation. it's, see, this is a tough area because how do we balance this so that these devices don't call when they're not supposed to, but do call when they should? So, like in this case, the guy didn't want the police called, clearly, but right. It still happened. And it was totally appropriate that the police were called. If I'm watching a TV show and my Echo picks up the dialogue and thinks that that I said to call the police, and it does, and the police show up at my door and they kick it in and think there's a fight going on, that's completely inappropriate. But what about a little kid that sees their mother choking and she can't breathe, she collapses to the floor? And they yell out, Alexa, call 911, mommy's on the floor. I mean, you totally want the police there right now. And
oh, yeah,
that'll be a huge feel-good story when it ends up on the news all over the country.
Okay, but now cut to 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when these companies that are operating these wiretaps in our homes are being either legislated or asked, or maybe they do it out of the kindness of their own heart, where they're actually applying AI to interpret the situation, interpret the fact that there's a domestic dispute going on, or interpret the fact that that drugs are being consumed within the home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or that a crime is being plotted. Or executed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, these are big topics.
Yeah, and how do you get AI to know the difference between hearing something on television, hearing someone rehearsing lines for a play that they're in, and or rehearsing like a fight scene with someone else?
Yeah,
or an actual situation that warrants calling law enforcement.
Well, and I'm less interested in that challenge than I am in the fact that I don't want AI doing that in the first place. And I certainly don't want that in the hands of third party companies, whether or not I put them in my home.
Yeah, I'm curious to see at what point do we hit a threshold where people that today are very excited about having devices like an Echo, Google Home, HomePod in their house are going to say, yeah, I'm not comfortable with this anymore, and then they're gone? Or does it happen at all? Does this transition happen slow enough that people just accept it and roll with it?
I know we're out of time. Yes, I'm really curious. At some point, Brian, I would like to sit down and talk to you about why it would be such a bad thing for AI to work to prevent crimes.
Okay.
Oh, this is going to be a wonderful discussion. I can't wait to hear it. All right. And yes, we are really, really way over time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thanks for being here today.
Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
And iMazing, thank you for being our sponsor today. iMazing 2.3 is out. Go download it right now. It's a fantastic utility. I say that as a user because, well, I actually use it. iMazing.com/TDO. Also, you get 20% off your purchase when you use that link, iMazing.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.